Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bartender's Jukebox Podcast. I have the pop culture icon on with me right now, Mr. Andy Hedder. And if you haven't seen this guy in the ring here, let me tell you, you need to look him up. He is like a live action superhero in the ring. So how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing good. Thank you for that thrilling introduction there.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome.
I don't know. I'm doing good, and I like what you said about me wrestling being like a live action superhero comic character.
Well, you kind of are. And I mean, I know your background images and stuff like that have a very gaming-esque type style to them. Before we even get into it, what's your favorite video game?
Oh, geez, wow. Of all time, I
Yeah.
close. Well, I got my marker. If you can see this, Skyrim. So, right there, right
Nice, nice.
there.
Excellent, excellent.
Usually, with
Scott,
role-playing.
usually role playing? All right.
Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. New Vegas is very good too. Old school ones, be Shining Force 2, Chrono Trigger. Justice, the Marvel, the DC fighting game. That's like Mortal Kombat. So I have, I don't have like one favorite. Secret of Mana is real big. I have close to that. Legend of Zelda. I almost wore a Zelda shirt today, so I should have did that. Ain't Zelda 3.
Okay. Nice, nice. Right on, man. All right, so you're into professional wrestling. You're a professional wrestler. How long you been doing it?
Geez, I think I'm going on like 15 or 16 years now. I believe it was 2007, somewhere around there I started. I don't have the exact date. My cat, of course, gets in the way here. Yeah, so I've been about 16 years, 15, 16 years, somewhere around there. And I always wanted to do it, and I seen, wrestling growing up and everything. But of course, when you're, I'm only, well, no, 5'10 at the most. So, hold on. Ah, jeez.
Yeah, no problem.
There you go. See, by the way. So when you're growing up like me, and you're not real tall, people like, you're too small to be a wrestler, you can't do it. But then when I finally started seeing some independent shows like around the area in Philadelphia, ROAW and stuff, I see guys like, well, I'm taller than that guy, so if he can do it, then I can do it. That's what really was like, okay, maybe I can do it. And but it was tough. Like back then, there wasn't as many schools. Like now, I could name three or four schools right off the top of my head within 2 hours distance of me. But back then, it was, the Mess Brothers had the dungeon near Reading, and then the Samoans, I think, still had a little bit of something in Allentown, but they might have moved to Florida at the time. And then there was a Chikara, which I wound up going to. So there was wasn't too much around that time. So, and then, I went to Chikara for a little bit there in that school, and then I left that school, and then kind of just broke out on the independence and kind of learned on the go, kind of. But it was harder back then, and I couldn't even imagine what it was in the 80s. Like, if you didn't know somebody, you were probably screwed,
Oh my God, yeah, definitely. All right, so you said you grew up watching wrestling. What was the first match that you remember that you were like, you know what, that's gonna be me one day?
The first match I ever remember at all was it was like a Saturday night, like WWE or WF at the time, Saturday night, and it was a 6-man tag, and all I can really remember is Hacksaw Jim Duggan was in it. And like, not Duggan fan or anything, nothing guy, but that's all I can remember from that very first match. And like probably the first thing I would have seen then, like full show complete, was probably would have been all time or All American Wrestling at the time, which would become Raw, on Monday night. Probably what I seen, because I live in Northeast Pennsylvania. We didn't get many channels that had WCW because we had mainly channels from Philly. So if they pulled NWA at the time, or WCW, I was totally unaware of it. So mainly for me, wrestling was just WWE, WF until ECW, because that was on the independent Philly channels. But I thing I really remember watching like religiously was Raw or All American, then Primetime Wrestling when they had the round table and stuff. So was
All
great.
right, so we're talking about the old days of wrestling. You had the honor of having the last main event in the Hamburg Fieldhouse.
This is true. The big War Games game.
How was it? I mean, you took the final leap off the cage in that building. I mean, how did that make you feel?
It was great. Like they said, they didn't know what I was gonna do at first, but they're building up this. McCoy has the belt and the Ian Bush, and like then when they said like a team of heels versus a team of faces, and I was like, what is it? War Games? Like, no, it's not War Games. We don't have two rings. I'm like, and then they explained the rules. I'm like, so it's War Games, but it's not in two cages,
Two
So,
rings. Yeah.
it was a lot of fun. It was really, it was an honor. I mean, for those who don't know, the building was up for sale. The fire company owns it, and they don't want to take care of it because it's expensive. So they went to sell it, and a car lot was going to buy it and turn it into either storage or another car lot. Then the township complained because there's a lot of stuff more than wrestling. There's like knife shows and gun shows and cons. They have like things for the Boy Scouts there and stuff like that. So they didn't want to lose the building to a car lot. So they complained, and the car lot backed out. Now it's up in the air. So will wrestling ever come back to Field House? Who knows?
But for
all intents and purposes, there is no more wrestling there because there's no shows running because the building, the ownership is up in the air.
I think we should get a petition together and just get some names on it and send it to them and keep it going. I mean, people like the events there. The history with wrestling alone in that place is insane. You know,
that's where Jimmy Snuka got put ahead of the Kona by Roddy Piper. So, you know, right? They said in that corner, and they would even like a couple people, like, it was right there in that corner. And like, that's kind of where we came out from, too. But that main event was a lot of fun. Because, you know, it was a war game style. One guy starts, and then a guy comes until all five, and then it's the match beyond, you know? But it was a lot of fun. Fun matches pulled out of the cage, of course. And, I got to jump off the top. And I went through some chairs on the outside, but no one got on video because there was, like, there's 10 people fighting. So,
yeah. Ken Fry says, serious business, Andy Hedder.
Yes, Ken Fry. I know him for a long time. It was just that show in Orangeburg last Saturday, actually. So,
right on. The first time I seen you wrestle, this is going back easily 10, 12 years ago. It was at a place in Schuylkill Haven.
Oh, yes. Probably it was NEWF at the rec center there in Schuylkill Haven.
I believe Maury Benjamin was huge part of that.
I haven't heard that name probably since then. Yeah. Wow.
Taking it back.
Yeah, that was them shows were all right. NEWF was fun for what it was there. Was that the one with the basketball court where the shows were? Do you remember?
I believe so, yes.
That was like the Schuylkill Haven like senior center, community center or something like that.
Yeah.
I still have one of the titles. It's actually right over there. The Young Guns title from NEWF. I have one.
Nice.
The champion. Obviously, they haven't run a show in 10 years. But yeah, they were fun shows. And the best thing about them, 10 minutes from my house. So,
dude, you can't go wrong. I mean, I literally came down from my farm up in Bradford County today. And I passed by right through that area. I was like, I know how time crunchy you were. I was about ready to just shoot you a message and be like, yo, you just want to do this, live in person?
We could have, yeah. He went right through Ponzo. It's the main thoroughfare.
Yep. All right. So, like I said, you're like a live action superhero in the ring. Who were some of your favorite comic book characters? Because I can tell you kind of pull a little bit of inspiration into your wrestling style with that. Who would it be?
I have my favorites, and then obviously all my gear is styled different comic book characters from Spawn to Spider-Gwen to the X-Men, Superman, Batman. I have that Aquaman, and stuff. But I have tons of ideas, but not enough money to buy all the gear. But like my top five, with always X-Men is up there, Punisher, Green Lantern, and Wonder Woman, and Supergirl's real big, Spawn. That's like my top. But like I like.
Out of X-Men though, who's your pick out of them?
Obviously, male will be Wolverine and female will be Psylocke.
All right.
Gambit. I mean, they're all Rogue. Beast, Bishop, Cable, Cyclops, Jean Grey, and going on. And I don't know.
You can just keep going on. Now you've gone to different Comic Cons and stuff like that, haven't you?
Yes, yeah. The big one, New York City, New York Comic Con. I've been there probably 8 times or so. Try to go that every year. Mm-hmm. Very expensive. And then little ones. I used to go Philly Wizard World, but that kind of went down. There was a Keystone Comic Con. And I think it's what took its place is Fan Expo Philly, which it's more spread out. It's not like so much comics. It's like all pop culture stuff where meet celebrities and stuff, more vendors. They're all right, but yeah, I like the little cons. Probably New York Comic Cons are awesome, but the little cons where you get for $10 and bring canned good, they take $1 off, and that's where you usually find deals. And it's more approachable if there's artists there. They're much cheaper. A lot of times you can meet them for free, and they'll sign your books for free. So, yeah. Like the small Comic Con, they run 4 a year by Allentown or Schnecksville. So they're fun. And last time I found a bunch of X-Men toys there, $2 a pop. Like they were still on the card and everything.
What? No way.
How much?
That's crazy.
Two, but if you buy a bunch, I'll cut you more of a deal. I was like, I'll take that one and that one and that one.
Yeah. Grab it up. Grab it up, man.
An hour from my house, it's worth it. I mean, but Bitcons are good.
Yeah.
A spectacle when you go there, and so many people in the costumes and all the big celebrities, like, you know, they get Captain America, Chris Evans. Yeah, that's a fun one, but like the little ones are where it's at. That's why I tell people, go to the little one first before, because I dove in with my friend, my occasional tag partner, Matt Turner, and I went to my very first one. So it was like throwing right into the lion's den, you know, like, oh my God. Jeez.
So when are you going to be part of the Comic Con or any of the cons as Serious Business Andy Hedder?
No, I would like to. I wore my Gambit wrestling gear last year in New York. Just like, I'm just gonna wear this. I'm sexy Gambit because I don't have a shirt, you know.
Yeah. But
like one person said, "You Bret Hart?" I'm like, "Yeah, pink and black Bret Hart shirt." You know, like I have a shirt on. What is Bret? But I don't know. I'd love to be. I know AXW is going to they did the Legends of Hamburg Fest every year from the Fieldhouse, and obviously because they're not having it this year. Well, at the Fieldhouse, they're having it. Oaks what's it called? The convention center?
Oaks, the Oaks Convention Center, just outside of Pottstown.
Yeah, yeah. There's a retro con, there's anime cons there, all kinds of stuff. So they have a
last one I was there was it was a Monster Mania con, and they had like all different like actors and actresses from different horror films and stuff like that.
Well, I haven't
dude, you gotta get to one.
That no,
what's you gotta,
that's in a big horror con. But
I think it's HorrorCon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That building is going to be the Legends of, well, what was Legends of Hammer? Now I think it's called Legends of Wrestling Convention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run a show there, so I will be there, and that is in May or June. I forget. They moved it again because they kept moving it when it was at Fieldhouse because it was real hot. Mm. Moved it back because, like, I thought Demolition was going to die.
Oh, man. You were telling me it was brutally hot in the Fieldhouse.
It was so bad. And, I mean, yeah, it's the Fieldhouse, but, like, these old guys can't take it, man, because there's no AC there. And, like, you got to think of it's
no.
July and it's cooking outside. It's even hotter inside. We'd wrestle in there sometimes. It would be 95 inside. And then if you're in the ring with the lights, like, it's probably in the hundreds, you know?
Easily.
It was brutal in the summer. That's one of the bad things. But the lights were actually the lights that Vince McMahon Sr. put in the Fieldhouse because he was taping TV there at the time. He paid for those lights, and they're still there today. So it is cool that the Hamburg Fieldhouse has that, like, all that history. And just Andre wrestled there. Hogan wrestled there. So it's a cool place. So hopefully whoever buys it, eventually wrestling will come back. But for right now, it's gone.
Fingers crossed. Kellyanne says it's in September.
Oh, there she is. She would know. She's my girlfriend, and she takes pictures for AXW. So there you go. Unless it's in
her right family, on.
Can't see the screen.
All right. Since me and you were friends on Facebook, I seen there was a Dr. Pepper debate.
Yes.
You had said it's too spicy or something like that.
I have one right now. I haven't drinking it. Yeah, she claims, Kelly, my lovely girlfriend Kelly, claims that Dr. Pepper is spicy, as does my friend Rich. And I said, no, it's not. I don't think Dr. Pepper's spicy. I mean, there's spicy sodas out there. I'll get you just a little bit, but I mean, come on, spicy? No. Like, no. I always say white people's tongue, and that's when white people can't handle spices. Not that, you know, I'm white myself, but that is white people's tongue word. But
she says it is.
A lot of people do, and I don't think you're crazy. But don't forget it. It's a turkey at Thanksgiving, and there's like two really white people, and it's like, we gave the turkey a little salt so we can give it some kick. Oh, watch out, you know. But Dr. Pepper, I love Dr. Pepper. It's fantastic. Strawberry one's really good, the cream one is good, but the regular, I drink the zero because no calories and just whoop.
Have you tried the Mountain Dew with, it was like spicy Cheetos flavor or whatever it was?
Yeah, so I work for Pepsi, so I know a lot about soda.
Oh, you work for Pepsi, all right.
Well, in my shoot job, brother. and that when that came out, it was called the Flaming Hot, like the Cheetos, but it was they didn't have the rights to Chester because I don't think he was on it. So it was just like the Cheetos and the Flaming Hot font. I did not. People said
it was. Oh, it was.
It's like salsa.
It was terrible.
Can't be good. It was the worst selling soda we ever had of any goofy flavor. It was so bad they said send it back before they went out day, because we had 12 bottles, you know, and we had some trying to push it. Normally flavor's so good, like even goofy Mountain Dew fruitcake, like that's still pretty good for Christmas time, you know. Want to try it, but people are like, I don't even want to try Flamin' Hot. It just sounds gross, and I don't know. I didn't even try it, but I was like, this is just awful. I didn't even take one for free. I had a bunch. I sent it back. It was not
good. Just if you ever get the chance in the future, still stick to your guns and don't taste it. It sucks. It sucks.
There was another one. There was a Pepsi Fire from about 6 years ago, and it was hot cinnamon. I wouldn't try that because I remember that. Big Red mixed with Pepsi. Spit your Big Red gum into Pepsi and drink it, and that's what that was.
I still wish they bring back Pepsi Clear.
Yeah, which came back so far since I've been here three times. And it's always a little bit crystal clear Pepsi. And it was pretty good last time. I kept the bottle, and then of course I drank the soda. And I put water in it to make it look like it has crystal clear Pepsi.
Nice. All right, what is one soda you wish they would bring back?
Surge. There you go. Surge. Remember that?
Surge. Yes.
About 4 or 6 years ago. And it was in the tall, like, energy drink 16-ounce cans. Mm-hmm. And it was good, but it's hard to remember when we were a kid. But, like, that was when I was around, like, 12 to 14. So, let's say late 90s, early 2000s, late 90s, probably. Late 90s. Surge was so good because it was, like, it was Coke's Mountain Dew alternative. But it was more, I would say, lemon-lime punch than a lemon-lime or citrusy, I mean? Like, a citrus punch, mm-hmm. right? Real strong, caffeine and stuff in it. So I think that's why they stopped. And I know a very lot about soda. I'm trying to smell it.
Part of one of the reasons why I call you the pop culture icon here.
There you go. Surge became Volt, which was kind of half-ass Surge, and it had less calories and less sugar and all that, and less caffeine. It just wasn't good, and that only lasted maybe 2 years, and they canned that. But they did bring Surge back, and I had to order off Amazon at the time. When they had that thing before the Amazon grocery store where any...
Don't forget to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations for all your artistic needs. Looking for a special occasion for a friend, family, or loved one. Be sure to check out Nelly's Artistic Creations on all social media and her website on BigCartel.com. That is Nelly's Artistic Creations. And with the holiday season coming up, a nice piece of art will always cheer the soul.
Anything Prime was free shipping, even though it was really heavy. But then they eventually caught on a pack of Surge. I shipped three to my apartment at the time for free. But then they caught buying Surge that way because there's like a Surge group on Facebook. I know this is they caught on and they said, you would have to pay extra for the Amazon grocery membership to ship heavy items. So and then they got out. Surge was great and all my other favorite sodas are currently being made. Slice back in the day, which was Pepsi's Sprite. There's a Slice Mandarin Orange and a Slice.
Oh, I remember that.
Slice Apple flavor, but it wasn't green. Crisp Apple. Those were good. I'm sure there's some other ones that come pop in my head, but for like discontinued sodas, like Surge's has to be right at the top of the list. Jolt Cola. I don't know if they still remember Jolt with the.
Yes.
Wex caffeine, Jolt.
Hey, that got me through my high school years.
And there was a rare blue variant. I guess it was like berry Jolt. I only see that once in my life.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one in God for a while. All right.
Drink that.
No, go ahead, Ben. All right, so I'm going to bring it back over to wrestling here. I told you we can flip-flop around so much in this podcast here. I think sometimes my brain has ADD and I just roll with it.
That's by the name of Bartender's Jukebox. I imagine you're just having a chat with the bartender and about whatever.
Yeah. All the time, man. I'd meet so many different people and stuff like that. And sometimes I'd have like 10 different conversations at once. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's crazy. Like you're trying to tend to a whole bar of people and stuff like that. And each individual person kind of, they have that rapport with you. So you're running back and forth. You know, you might only get 5 words in as you're tending, but you keep going back and forth.
The secrets of being a good bartender is actually like talking with people as you serve them, you know, and becoming somewhat friends. I mean, obviously, you might only be seeing them for, 20 minutes, you never see them again. But yeah, I hear Cool. It's interesting. Like, I'm not a non-drinker of alcohol, but that is interesting.
I don't drink myself, and it's been 10 years since I've been sober.
Oh,
So,
wow. For you.
yeah, I mean, I've this has just been a I've been a career bartender for 23 years, and recently I've stepped down so that way we can start our farm up. So, it's in the midst of the life change right now, but we're really enjoying it. And honestly, it's kind of nice to step away from behind the bar for a little bit, and just I don't know, man. It's just a liberating feeling right now.
You
All
don't
right,
work.
so
Hey, back
back
to
to the wrestling plan. If you look back on your career, what are some rivalries and storylines you absolutely love that you worked?
Okay, so just which one that just ended, me and Matt Quay, every time we've wrestled,
Okay.
very good in RWF. I always want to kind of say RFW, but it's RWF. We had it was like a four-way match, and then the last two guys, then we went shot, but it ended in a time limit draw, and then we had another. I think we had another time limit draw, and then a two out of three falls match, and then we were supposed to have a cage or a cage match, and that got canceled, and it was an Ironman match, and we finally had the Ironman match, the one half an hour, and I managed to come out victorious on that and win the RWF. Oh, geez, and I forget the name, the like high speed championship, I think it's called. Yeah, so Matt Quay, I had a real good feud back in the day in Lancaster Championship Wrestling with Louis G. Rich, who is a very comedic wrestler, but he wrestled too. And then we that actually ended. He had a
He was in
plaque.
the he was in the tag t he was in the tag team with Alan Cross, right?
Charm City Connection. He had a plaque that was like a world's or wrestler of the millennium or something. So at the time, it's like, well, you get a plaque made and says like even better wrestler of the millennium. So we had a ladder match to unify the two plaques, and he won that. So it was fun. That was a fun feud. And then the feud that I was kind of in AXW, where we got to have the cool war games at the end with Matt Quay versus you know, I wasn't directly in, you know. That was pretty cool. I had some other feuds. PPW, I'm in a good one now with Run Matt, which will also end in a ladder match coming up April 20th. I'm sure there's some other ones. I know GSW, there was a bunch of good stuff there when that was running, and when I was the heavyweight champion, and then of course the Adrenaline champion, and then tag team champion match, then we actually we were champions when the place ended, and now they're coming back for WrestleMania weekend, which is this Thursday. So yeah, that's the fuse that popped in my head. I'm sure there's other ones, but like a lot of times in indie wrestling, like they'll say, oh, we want you to wrestle him and do a feud, but like, you know, the shows are every 2 3 months, and then by the time that happens and rolls around, someone can't make it. So a lot of times you don't get to have feuds, so it's like you might have a match or two at the most, but like nowadays it's a or especially if a place runs monthly, you can have like a 4 or 5 match feud, but a lot of times stuff gets in the way, or the place runs, or they stop running, or people forget because hey, we wrestled each other 4 months ago. Well, I don't remember what happened, you know. And it's not like Raw where you say previously, or you know, this is what happened last week or last month. You know, any wrestling different. So there's not those like, you know, he stole my girlfriend, so now I want to beat him up, like that kind of feuds, because you can't really, you know, all you can do is come out and pay, you know.
Yeah.
I
You
mean,
only
my
you
time.
only you only you only get so many minutes to kind of tell the story. It has to be really told in the ring, more or less, right?
Indie wrestling, a lot of places are light on story because they really don't have any other option. I mean, if you run, you know, let's say 4 times a year, people might remember, but you know, probably not unless you come out and you're like you're a tag team and one of you turns on each other at that show. Like, you know, very simple storytelling in indie wrestling, just because you know it's not like Raw, it's not a weekly episodic thing where people can remember or see the whole story.
It's more about the action in the ring.
Yes.
All right, speaking of action in the ring, one of my friends, Mr. Aaron Truth, do
Oh.
you guys got a match either coming up or just had? I can remember. I think it's coming up.
What was that? Let me see. My memory is terrible. Like I could tell you the lineage of Cyclops and Jean Grey and all their powers, and I can't tell you what I wrestled 3 weeks ago. We did have a match. Actually, we were in a 6-man tag in XW against each other. It was me and Iyanka, Bob Evans, and Tough Tim Hughes versus Aaron and two guys from excuse me, North Carolina, Tennessee, or something. And then we did have a singles match at CCW in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And he cheated that son of a bitch, and he won and kept his title. So I didn't get to beat Aaron that match, but it was a good match. You know, look.
You gotta watch out for them truth serum boys.
No, you can't
They're
trust them.
No. Any way to cheat. Bunch of bums. Bunch of bums. All right, man. Snack foods. We're going to switch over to that. What's your go-to bag of chips? Whatever.
Let's get terribly local. Utz. The Utz regular potato chip, regular plain salted, I think, are some of the best regular chips around. Then you want to go to Martin's, the black bag. That's the best kettle cooked. It's the sea salt Martin's. They're very good. You can't go wrong with Doritos, of course. And then if you get even more terribly local to the Lancaster, York area, Golden Gourmet.
Oh, you're going to...
Yeah.
What is it? Oh, yeah.
Or white and blue bags. And sometimes they're clear and just a little sticker on them. And I'm sure Hanover, Pennsylvania is like home of so many different snacks, pretzels, chips, all everything. Snyder's Hanover, obviously. But Utz is down there. Martin's, I think, comes out of there. They're Wummelsdorfer. No, that's Diefenbach.
That's Diefenbach.
Yeah, Diefenbach. Yes, I know where the plant is. It's well, that one. And then Utz Goods is in Adamstown. My chips, Golden Gourmet, the party mix, Golden, because their generic nachos are really good, and then their little ones that are spicy, like the barbecue, they're called barbecue chips, they're very good, and then their generic Cheetos, the hard ones, and they mix it all together in their party mix, and is fantastic, and that is probably my favorite, my little, anytime you see party mix, like Utz is okay, or actually Utz is, has like sweet Cheetos, I don't care for them, the Martin's. And the Hers is good, but that's that party mix I don't really care for. But the Golden Gourmet party mix is really good for if you want to get terribly local and go to the York Hanover, like the low southern Pennsylvania area.
It's surprisingly, Pennsylvania is one of those areas where across the country they don't realize. I think we're second in line for potatoes, at least when it comes to chips, anyways. There are so many potato chip companies.
Yeah, there's a ton. When you like, I just said, like if you look Google Internet, I think there's 10 companies alone. And then I know there's a Snyder's of Berlin because I was out in Johnstown, and usually I go through the snack aisle when I'm in like a different grocery store or anything. What chips do they have? And then Snyder's of Hanover, there was some type of cheddar one. It might have been sour cream and cheddar, which I don't care for sour cream, but sometimes the cheddar overpowers it. But there was another day, salt and pepper, good. And then I think they're barbecue, and I was like, where are these from? And they're from someplace way far. It's like almost like southeast of Pittsburgh. And I looked it up. About 3 hours is kind of far to drive for, even a bike. It's a little far. But they're Snyder's of Berlin for anyone who may be listening that lives like Jonestown area, past Altoona, that south of Pittsburgh. They were good. But yeah, there's a tons of. And then like Tasty Cake is based out of Pennsylvania, I believe Philly. Bunch of candy companies like out in Johnstown. Have you ever seen Mallow Cups, which are okay?
Oh, all right. I got a story about Mallow Cups. They ceased to be a game we would play behind the bar with customers and stuff like that. It was our way of just getting interaction and gambling. And so on the inside of Mallow Cups, on the cardboard sleeve in the bottom, it has like a coin number. And guys, so next time you open a package of them, look on it. It'll have, I think it's like 5, 25, 50, and 100. Mm-hmm. And you could collect these or whatever and send in for merchandise. That was like an old school thing. Well, the one bar I worked at, how I first found out about this, there was like 5 bikers that came in, sat down. They're like, let me get some Mallow Cups. I'm giving them, I'm like, to be honest with you, who the fuck eats these? Like, they don't taste great or anything like that. That's just me. That's just me.
If you think peanut butter cup, but it sounds good, but coconut, it's like, ugh. Anyway.
No. So all of a sudden, they're starting to drop. One guy's putting out a 20, another guy's putting out a 20. I'm like, what are these guys doing? They open them up. They don't eat the candy whatsoever. And they're like, oh, slam the card down the table. And one guy's collecting me. I'm like, what are you guys doing? They're like, oh, we gamble on these. I'm like, do you eat the candy? You're like, fuck no, we don't even touch this stuff.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I've watched guys probably easily $5,000.
Wow.
On 50 cent, at that time they were 50 cent Mallow Cups. Yeah. And if you ran out of Mallow Cups, you switched over to Dots.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You start with green, and if you, whoever has that's this many green, you just break it down. I watch guys gamble on candy like crazy. And then at the end of it, And at the end of it, I'd be like, guys, give me your candy. I'd put it in a bag. And then whatever customer, I was like, who has kids? You know, I'd look around the bar. You got some? Here's a whole bag of candy for you to take home.
There you go. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So well, at least we got to share some of the crappy candy with the kids, at least, you know?
Yeah. Mallow cups are not that. And dogs are okay. But Mallow cups.
Do you know there's another one made by the same company? It's like a peanut butter butterscotch.
Yeah, that's the other. And then there is a traditional peanut butter cup like Reese's.
What's going on, Shane? How you doing, brother?
Butterscotch is not good. And we went past that plant, me and my friends, one time. We were out there, and we were going to possibly see a tour, but it was like it just about to close. I'm like, I guess we ain't going to get a tour. But like just to see what the name of that company right now. I don't know. It'll pop in my head. Probably want to talk about something else. But we were right there in front of like, oh, there's the place where Mallow Cups come from. Maybe we'll go on a tour. Mm. Candies they have, even though we none of us like their candy.
I'm still trying to figure out. He said milk chocolate, marshmallow cream, and coconut would go well together.
Yeah, I don't like coconut, but like I recently bought some because it was about a year ago. There's a bag and there were 2 for $5 or something. There were the little small Mallow Cups. I'm like, mm-hmm. I was like, they can't be that good. And I was like, oh yeah, there's coconut. I was like, I don't want these. And I just gave them to my mom.
Yeah. Just pass it along. Yeah, they're horrible.
That's a lot of
all bad. Right.
Flavors is at the top of that.
All right. So Shane says we start soon. Good stuff, guys. And to bring that up, since Mr. Shane Sanchez, he is part of the Three Beards of Wrestling podcast. They go on at 7 p.m. So anybody watching this right now. Once this is over, head on over to the Three Beards of Wrestling podcast and tune into those guys. You will hear more in-depth wrestling stuff than me and Andy will talk about here. I mean, me and him can go deep, but we're talking about everything and anything from pop culture stuff to, you know, junk food to wrestling, you name it. So speaking of that, in the culture nowadays, how do you feel the direction WWE is going? I noticed with Netflix and stuff like that, they're starting to get more R-rated.
Seems like a little bit more of the attitude, or much better since Vince obviously had a scandal and he's out. H is in charge now, but I mean, a 3-hour Raw is still a hard. It's hard to sell. Like it's hard to sit through 3 hours of Raw. There is some good stuff, but there's still some matches that come on. You're like, like Viking Raiders with one of them versus Chad Gable, but then like it's a comedy match or Otis. Or like Mo Maxime's kind of attempting to wrestle here and against Candace and like, and her brother died. So it's like, oh boy. But then there's good stuff like everything the Cody and Rock and Roman is involved with is good. And usually the Logan Paul stuff is like, he's shockingly a good wrestler. That stuff's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And Punk stuff has been fantastic. So, I mean, there is some really good stuff that is going on right now. And like, you know, you don't have to come out and be like, fuck. But, you know, a little bit like, I forget what CM Punk called Drew a dipshit, but they beeped it. But it was cool. What is this? Maybe these guys do, you know? So that's kind of cool. And that was a cool segment. So I like it. As long as they don't go, like, you don't have to go out of Twitter. I don't think they will. But apparently when they go to Netflix, anything goes because there's no censorship there. But I don't come out and curse nonstop. But probably, like, even Blood has come back recently, which I like. You know, again, all the time, like when Mox was bleeding on Dynamite all the time, it's like, oh, he's bleeding again.
It got to a point where it's like, oh yeah, that Mox was going to be in a match.
Yeah,
yep, blood.
For that was when he wrestled Tanahashi. Tanahashi hit him with a sling blade, which is has no bust. It's just, you know, wrap your arm around him, drop him down. You know, and Mox started bleeding. I was like, well, how does that even happen? But anyway, it's cool that Blood's back in WWE because. It's been gone for so long because the PG stuff. So I like the direction. It is going better. SmackDown is a much more enjoyable watch because it is only 2 hours. It's still not good, but I like the direction. WrestleMania looks pretty good. I mean, you know, Drew and Seth should be a good match. I hate Seth's character. Yeah. But he's good. Of course, the main event. I mean, the tag match main event, which, you know, Cody and Seth are going to lose that. So then all the ones involved, one is Cody and Roman, and then. Hopefully, we're all hoping everyone in the world that Cody finally wins the title and goes home the world champion, finishes the story, you know, hopefully. Because if they don't, like, what do you do? Like,
yeah, I don't know if he'd be able to, like, they've hyped this up so much. They put the stigma on Cody, you know, in the story and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, the allegations happened and things changed a little bit. Now the Rock's there. It's just like, you know, you can't, I think if they just cut it off right there and do another direction, I hope they wouldn't lose fans over it, but I think it'd be a good possibility because how much invested time they put into it.
Yeah, that's a good way to lose fans. It's like when you build somebody up and you say, we're going to give you something, we're going to give you something, and then you don't deliver, the fans just lose interest and they lose faith in the guy. They're like, oh, he'll never win the title. I ain't watching now. And that's, you don't want that. You want them to be invested. Because as soon as the fans mm-hmm. design, you lost them. It's very hard to get them back. You know, that happens a lot to the guys in AEW. They get so popular and they get so over. And they just, like, Tony Khan just doesn't know what to do. Like, the Acclaimed is nowhere near as popular as when they were tag champions. And, like, everyone's like, oh, the Acclaimed's awesome. Now it's like, oh, they're stuck in the jam. Who cares? You know? So,
yeah.
Got to strike when the iron's hot a lot of times wrestling. And if you don't, and sometimes you can get it back. But if you wait too long, it's gone. And it's just, sometimes it's gone forever. So, that's why
I agree.
Well, even if he's only champ for 6 months, even if he's only 2 months, it's better than not winning it. So,
mm-hmm. I think, like I noticed, like with AEW, a lot of stuff for me, like I like it, but when they had like the whole Wardlow storyline,
oh yeah,
he was powerbombing Big Bill, yeah. And like he was like this overwhelming beast, but Big Bill like towered him,
yeah.
And then they put him most recently in a what was the match he just had for the title? Johnny. It was almost like a squash match.
Yeah, for some reason with Wardlow, my friend said he drew a little thing. He's like, here's Wardlow. He's like, gets popular, wins a bunch of matches, loses, goes back to not being popular. And that's his circle. Like, Wardlow was so popular when the MJF thing, and they finally turned on him, and they gave him the TNT belt, and they kind of like, okay, now you're going to feud with what's-his-name. You're going to be a security guard. So nobody wants to see that. They want to see him kick ass. And it's like, they get him to a point where they don't know what to do, just like he wins that stupid ladder match that was not good at all at the pay-per-view, and he got the title shot, wrestled Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe beats him the first match in Dynamite. So, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just doesn't make any sense sometimes.
Yeah, and it's like, you got a guy that could be a big deal, big star, but you don't know how to use him, and that's, AEW doesn't know how to use a lot of people, and they forget about a lot of people. Like, where's Bandido? If he's not hurt, same with Miro.
Yeah.
And, like, Pocky just came back, like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Pop. Where's he been? You know, so the AEW is probably, you know, I enjoy that more. Dynamite, I like Collision's really going downhill recently. Dynamite's probably my favorite right now on TV. But still, like, it's like there's so many good people that they just forget about or, you know, you see, and you don't see again for 4 months, you know.
Your girl also agrees AEW dropped the ball big time with Wardlow.
Yeah, they did. You could even say they dropped it twice now with Wardlow, you know, and then the claim that. Starks, you know, there's a bunch of people at AEW like, oh, they're popular, we don't know what to do. Even goofy Brian Pillman Jr., like when they had the Dark Side of the Ring about his dad about a year ago, 2 years ago, and like everyone's like, oh, Brian Pillman Jr., and people were into him, even though he's not like the best wrestler, they could have did something with him at that point, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And the tag team with Griff Garrison no one wants to see, and it's like, well, there goes that, you know? So there's a lot of stuff they could capitalize, and same with WWE. Like, they seem to be more like, nowadays, at least when Vince was there, if you got over and he didn't like it, it was the end. But they're becoming popular, they kind of go with you, you know?
All right, since you watched Dynamite, what was your feeling on Jade Cargill when she was there?
So Jade looks awesome. She looks like a real, like you said, I look like a super. Mm-hmm. She looks like a superhero. When she dressed up like Storm and She-Hulk and Catra, it's like, she looks awesome. She looks incredible. And her charisma is there and her promo is there, but her in-ring was not there. It was okay. And, you know, and okay to bad. But I think they seen Jade and they were like, well, look at her. We got to put her on TV. But they probably shouldn't put her on TV. They should have had her trained somewhere. You know, even if they would have sent over to Stardom and just said, look, she's real green, but show her whatever you need to do. And then would have brought her out like maybe 6 months like after when she did debut. She would have been decent and exposed because she gets out there, you could tell she was real clunky and robotic and stuff. And it's like, well, she's kicking ass, but like people are like, well, nowadays it's not like Goldberg, like back in the day, we're like, okay, we don't really know how wrestling works so much, so like we can overlook, like, okay, we think he's a good wrestler, but he's really not a good wrestler at all.
because he's only doing like a few moves and just riding it out,
and like
more or less for those few minutes he was there.
Yeah, but it was awesome, like 9-1-1 in ECW, like, oh, 9-1-1 was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
chokeslam somebody, and that's basically it. And then when he did wrestle, like, oh boy, he's not so awesome. But ECW had that way to hide, you know, the negatives. But now Jade, like, WWE signed her. She was in the Royal Rumble, and then recently on SmackDown. But she's been months, and you're like, well, what's she doing? Where's she at? Well, she's training. They're making her a better wrestler. So hopefully now when she has that match at WrestleMania where it's her and Bianca and Naomi versus Damage Control, it should be pretty good. Much better wrestler than where she was. And I hope she is, because she could be a real big deal. She'd be a huge star just looking at her. Because people, that's a wrestler, like they say, the It Factor. You see her, like, who's that? Like, look, I want to see her, you know?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. With her, I kind of got that Goldberg feel with her when she was over there, unfortunately, because it was like, oh, we got this big streak going. And every time he came out, I mean, honestly, probably I would say half her time there, every time she was on TV after that, it was like, I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's the
one. I already know what's going to happen.
Because, like, with Goldberg, he only really could do one match, and that was come out and decimate the guy, you know, punch, punch, kick, kick, slam. Your jackhammer, that's it. If they had to do more, like the time he wrestled Steve Regal
spoke. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. And he's doing stuff, and Goldberg's, I don't know what to do. You know, same like with the Warrior.
Hey, guys, I just want to give a quick shout out to the Deluxe Podcast Edition. If you like all things podcasts and different kind of unique interviews, definitely check those guys out. Another podcast to check out is the Three Beards of Wrestling. If you're into indie wrestling, pro wrestling, all kinds of wrestling talk, definitely check out the Three Beards of Wrestling podcast. That is my shameless promos for the rest of this episode, so enjoy the rest.
If you want to go back in the day, and Warrior was awesome, but Warrior was a terrible wrestler, you know? It's what exposes him to a streak like that. You can only do so much, and then you get to a point where, like, okay, well, now how do we end the streak? And they didn't really know how to end it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. Imagine someone signs you and says, hey, we're going to push you. You're never going to lose. You're going to win a belt. Mm-hmm. You're going to win. Okay. You're not going to say, you
know? Shit, man. All right. If you could get a contract from any company today,
easy.
AEW. Which company would you go to? AEW?
A lot of guys get lost in the shuffle there. And probably make more money in WWE if you got bigger and stuff. I think AEW would be more fun. And even though Vince is out and WWE seems to be more relaxed and stuff, I think AEW would be more fun. New Japan, but I would have said a couple years ago, but New Japan recently is real down. It's just, I don't know, it's just not happening. Like, there's like zero buzz and just no one's getting over. Nothing's click. I mean, there's good wrestlers, there's good matches, but it's just not that happening. AEW would be a place to go. If ROH, I mean, I wouldn't mind ROH at all, but I mean, well, will they have four pay-per-views a year and that's it? So, I mean, and no one's...
Yeah.
Who subscribes to Honor Club? You know, nobody. So it's like, you'd be wrestling, but who's going to see it? But AEW would be the choice for me.
I think it's another area, too, with AEW. Like, Tony Khan has bought out so much now. And I think he has so much talent. He just doesn't know what to do with it sometimes.
There's a guy that needs a booker or a team of bookers or someone to say, hey, Tony, we have... we have a Bandito over there, and he hasn't been on TV in the X amount of time. Why don't we do something with
the
random luchadors from CMLL? So, he has tons of great wrestlers there, but, like, I think he gets, like, kind of, like, pigeonholed and, like, okay, here's my four guys that I want to push, and then he forgets about everything. Like, where the hell's Britt Baker been, you know? Like, okay, Mercedes. Oh, but where's Britt Baker? And Jamie Hayter's still hurt, I assume. But, like, and then you got Serena Deeb, who's really good. Who's just, you know, she's same with Hikaru Shida. She's somewhere.
And now they brought in, was it Deonna Purrazzo?
Yeah, and she's already floundered now. Like, she had the feud with Toni Storm, and now it's what she,
nothing. Yeah, and she was topping over on Impact for a while, right?
Yeah, I
haven't watched Impact TNA in a while.
Either,
but I remember she came from there. I think she was her champion at that time.
I think so.
And now she's in AEW, and it's like it almost seems like her run's dying there.
Yeah, it kind of seems like you get signed to AEW, you're a big deal for like a month or two, and then you're just wrestling, you know, random guy on Rampage and forgotten about. Yeah. And that, like, I think if he had a booker or a team, a creative team, they'd be like, oh, we still have these. What if they, you know. What if Will Ospreay wrestles this guy, you know? And someone there to be like, hey, we still have these people that are doing nothing, you know? Like Athena is ROH. I mean, who talks about Athena? I mean, she's great, but like, who talks about her? Nobody, because it's ROH and no one watches it. It's sad.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it's too much on your plate. Like, it'd be like, you know, trying to balance four jobs at once. Like, you can't do it. Or your attention is split. So rather than making one awesome, you get four that are okay, you know?
Yeah. Who's it going to bring up here? So,
for me,
just had it on the tip. Yeah, it was just on the tip of my tongue. Bear with me. I'm having a brain fart right now. It happens quite often. All right, I'm going to swing back around to the, whatever that question that was. Let's switch back over to pop culture stuff.
Okay.
All right. Your next Comic-Con coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you dressing as?
I don't know. I'm torn. So I, in the past year, I've gotten into anime a lot. Nothing crazy. And Demon Slayer has been really good. I watched all of it that's out so far. There was a movie that came out two old episodes. Haven't seen that yet, but I think the new season starts this year. So there's a guy there, Inosuke. He's the guy, for those of them that has a boar's head that he wears. So he kind of looks like a monster. And he has like no shirt, and like pants, and then two swords that are like serrated. So I want to make him costume and be Inosuke for what's the New York Comic Con probably, and then also Colossal Con, which is like more of an anime themed con that we also do a wrestling show at Frontier
Royal. Yeah.
The show on Saturday there, and they do like a battle royal. Mm. And get in because it's more of an anime crowd, so you don't have to do as much wrestling. You can kind of be characters and do goofy stuff. So Inosuke is top of the list probably, and then there's a girl from, because I do girl costumes too because it's fun. From Jujutsu Kaisen, another big anime right now, and her name is Maki Zenin, and she's this green haired girl that like has a cool staff, and she
okay,
she got messed up when she comes back, spoilers. But I want to do like her regular costume, so that's two. And then you know, kind of working on Casey Jones, and then Kelly's gonna be April O'Neil, so that should be fun.
Right on.
Yeah, and then I popped my head. Like Leesport Auction, and this girl's selling all kinds of props and stuff, and she had a Red Hood like vest jacket thing, like Red Hood. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "That's awesome! How much?" And I think it was only like $20. I'm like, "I'll take that." So like, I'd like to make a Red Hood one, buy the helmet and everything, just because the jacket was $20. The jacket's awesome. So
hell yeah.
One of my dream ones, like I'd love to make a Spawn costume, but that's just so elaborate, like with the cape, my eyes glowing and stuff. So I don't know if I'll get around Spawn, but that would be really cool.
If you go farther, just a little bit farther south in Leesport, every Sunday now that spring's coming up over here in Sinking Spring, they hold an outdoor flea market. You might be able to find all kinds of stuff if that's, you know what I mean? Yeah, Sinking Springs.
Is it just called like Sinking Springs flea market or something?
I something like that. They have it over to Owl's Field.
Oh, okay.
Field of Screams is. Not Field of Screams. Is it? No. It's one of the haunted hayride thing. Not haunted attractions over here.
It's Woods? I forget. I know what you mean. I'll check that out. Yeah. What's that?
All right. So the question I had, what I was asking about AEW, and you bringing up anime actually is what triggered this. So do you think that AEW is bringing in a lot of Japanese wrestlers that aren't attaching to American fans?
Yes. and Mexican wrestling. Like, look, Okada is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okada is so good. Like, if you say top wrestler in the world, Okada and Bryan Danielson are probably like one and two. But they bring a lot of people that, like, it's a one-time thing. But one of AEW's big problems is they bring a person, they act like they're a big deal, and a lot of people in America never heard of this guy. They're like, oh my God, Steve so-and-so is here. And you're like, I don't know who is so-and-so. I've never seen them. And they do that with a lot of Japanese talent, and they could be good, but when they come over, and like Tanahashi, great, but like nowadays, he's slowing down. He's getting older. So when Tanahashi, AEW isn't the Tanahashi from 4 years ago in Japan when he's really good. So like, and a lot of people are like, well, who is this guy? He's kind of looking a little out of shape, and like, he's kind of moving slow. And like, then people, if you don't know, it's like, you know, like watching Undertaker like in the past couple of years. And it's not good, but he's still like, he's the Undertaker. So you know him from the past, you know? But didn't know Undertaker ever. Like, well, who's this old guy? He's moving slow. He's not that good. And he's trying to be gothic. Like, you don't get, it's, there's the disconnect. So a lot of the, and like, Bushi was really good, but like, years he's kind of lost it out of shape. I know he went through a lot of like sickness and everything, but like, it seems like when AEW gets the Japanese guys, they're either, you know, on the career or they're just in bad shape. It's Okada side, because I think Okada will become very good at AEW. But yeah, a lot of people, they don't know if they would just play like the vignettes, as they call them, the little 30-second, you know, coming to AEW and then show some clips.
Yeah.
Then maybe someone like, you know, he can speak Japanese and have the voiceover, or have an American guy say it. He did this and this, you know, what he's going to do. That's better than just, hey, here's like one of my favorites, who was it? It wasn't Kojima. He was on ROH, but one of the guys came over, Yuji Nagata came over. But like, if you don't remember him 20 years ago and you don't know what he did, like, old Japanese guy. Like, so like, I get why people, the complaints, like, yeah, he's good, but like, okay, now he's on his downturn. So like, I don't know, but a little video hyping the guy up for 2 weeks rather than just the cold match. Oh, you know, Minoru Suzuki, again, another guy that's on the, you're closer to the end of his career than the beginning, you know? You don't know Suzuki, you don't know what he did in New Japan, you don't know about Suzuki and all that. Like, who's this little old guy, like, with the crazy hair? So, yeah, that's with AEW, is bring over Japanese talent, bring over Mexican talent, and not explaining who they are. Here's Hatcher Zero, he's going to wrestle Brian Danielson. Okay, why? Like, you know, a lot of people don't watch Lucha. Like, Lucha's cool, but I don't watch Lucha. Like, I'm deep in wrestling, and I never heard of the guy. So imagine, Dynamite, they're like, who the hell is this guy, you know? And unless you have an awesome look or something like Jade Cargill, people are like, I'm going to go get a snack, or I'm going to turn it, or I'm going to, you know, go to the bathroom, you know? Like, that's a problem with AEW, not explaining who people are. I enjoy them because you should know. It's like, okay, you know?
I agree with you wholeheartedly there, man. What about the Will Ospreay signing? I feel like with him being signed there, they should capitalize on this.
They could. They seem like they're going with him. I mean, Will Ospreay, obviously awesome in the ring. Will Ospreay, his promos are just really clicking and getting over. The Brub thing is getting over. So I think they're going to go with him, and a lot of people think he's going to win the title at Wembley this year. I guess All In, All Out, I get from which one that is. You know, a lot of people think Swerve's going to win it at from Samoa Joe at the pay-per-view coming up, and then drop it to Ospreay.
I really, just to jump in there real fast, I really like the improvement in Swerve Strickland.
Yeah.
Over this last year. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think if anyone, he is well-deserved to win the title, and I think he should win it.
Yeah.
And maybe even if they don't give it to Ospreay, have Swerve win it, have Swerve keep it for a year, actually. I was actually in a ladder match.
Yeah.
It was a multi-man ladder match outside of Scranton, one of the towns at the Kingston, and it was like...
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of the Fed, because the guy would run, and then he would not run, and he could bring the Fed back, but he changed the name. So I think it was a Keystone or Anthracite, something like that, Anthracite Unlimited. And it was a cage match for whatever, like, mid-card title, and me and Swerve in it. So we got to do a little bit there. And that's also the match where guy, he bladed it, right? Instead of going this way, he went diagonal, and it got all over my mouth, and it was gross.
Oh, bro.
It was like the consistency... melted chocolate, and it did not taste like melted chocolate.
Oh, man.
That was I had it in 2018, no, 16, around there somewhere, and it was like, it's gross.
Oh, shit, man. My one buddy, Frank, he's part of the band Anthrophobia. I asked him one time when I had my radio program back on 91.3, had him on air, and I said, man, what is like one of the craziest things that ever happened to you on stage? He said, I was in the middle of getting ready to belt out, you know, a lyric, and a fan just spit right in my mouth.
What?
I said, are you fucking kidding me? He goes, yep. He goes, I dropped the mic and stopped what I was doing right there for just that moment. He goes, like that, yep.
What do you do? I mean, you think spit it back, but like, it's already in your mouth.
But yeah. Oh.
That's a they're a metal show or on the heavier side, because that sounds like something that happens.
Oh yeah, they're definitely heavy metal.
That's my cup of tea. I've seen some things at bands, you know, concerts over the years, but that dude spit in this dude's mouth.
Why? Yeah, like God. Oh man. All right. So who are some of the bands you listen to?
Okay, right at the top, Megadeth and Anthrax are probably my two all time. Was my absolute favorite. So any type of, you know, Testament, Overkill, Slayer, Metallica, old school stuff. One of the Municipal Waste is a newer thrash metal band, newer than the past 20 years. So anything thrash like that,
fuck right.
Violence. There was one, a gamma ray or gamma bomb. They're from England, and they have a. I was like, whoa! I didn't even notice, and I went into their website to check them out. I was like, they have a girl singer. That's pretty cool. But yeah, thrash metal is my favorite. So Megadeth, Anthrax are my top two. But like, Three Inches of Blood, I really like. I think they're like teasing their back together. Yeah, two singers. The one guy's like, ah, and the other guy's ah, bah, bah.
Yep.
They're thrash metal. So a Austrian Death Machine, which is the Arnold themed metal band from After Dying. I also really like the new wave of American heavy metal when it was like new metal was dead, and then along came Killswitch Engage and Chapel Fall and God Forbid and all those bands. I've been to mostly all them and All That Remains and stuff. All that like metal that was like, I love so crazy vocals like Judas Priest. Like Judas Priest's new album was awesome. There's only like two good songs that aren't good on there. And my basically everything like a little bit of death, a little bit of black metal. Doom metal, I don't care for.
Did you listen to like Seven Dust at all?
Seven Dust is okay. Kelly really likes Seven Dust, but I was never really too into them. That okay. Time, from like 95 to like 2004, like kind of the time I think for metal. Like a lot of like I absolutely hate new metal, so Corn and the Biscuit.
I can respect that.
I just absolutely hate them. But like Pantera, I love Pantera. So there's some bands that came out in that time, but it was Seven Dust wasn't. I don't hate them, but I don't like them. You know, I don't. But that's about it. So Seven Dust, I'm not really too into. But all the classics are made in Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, you know, stuff like that. Obviously Metallica, and then the newest stuff. Like I don't know, like new
older bands. Metallica for me. The newer stuff, I've been a little.
Well, it was like, you know, Load and Reload. You're like, you're losing me. And then what was the really the shitty one?
Some Kind of Monster.
Oh, that was awful. just awful. And then they kind of came back to with Death Magnetic and stuff. And they're good. They're from where they were with Saint Anger. Saint Anger's was called Peace.
Yeah, that's what it was. Saint Anger.
Piece of shit. It is awful. you can't go wrong. Master of Puppets, Ride Lightning, or Kill 'Em All, or anything. And the same with Megadeth. Like their newer stuff, but like back in the day, Hangar 18, Holy Wars, so good. That stuff's awesome. That's
hell yeah.
When I was growing up, that was real big. And then, like, as I grew older, and it's like, oh, Iron Maiden, like, these guys are awesome. You know, King Diamond, Merciful Fate, like, stuff like that.
And they're still out there touring fucking arenas, man. Like, what was it, like, 3 years ago? My wife took me down to see Iron Maiden down in Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they still wail.
Oh, he has a singles album coming out. Like, I forget what it's called. I heard the one song wasn't bad. But, yeah, Bruce still is. Your grandfather, like, oh, I'm going off to play a gig where I'm gonna scream my head off for 2 hours. Like,
yeah,
crazy, it's insane, but yeah, I love heavy metal ever since I was a kid. Like, and I'm not one of people, like, you know, I listen to everything, no, I just listen to metal, and that's it, you know, I guess hard rock, AC/DC and stuff, but that same thing, basically.
You're not into that rap rock stuff at all?
Nope, no, the only time I did that's in Public Enemy, Bring the Noise, so there you go.
All right, that's a good choice.
Bring the noise.
All right, brother, we are hitting actually close to our hour mark here.
Oh, how about one fast?
Yeah, man. Since this has gone so fast, would you ever want to do another one of these, man? Because this actually flowed pretty well here.
Sure, yeah. I'll do another one. It's easy. I mean, I didn't have to plan anything. I had to write anything out. You know, like, I'll review a show, you have to watch the movie, or you have to.
No, man. The live stream with me, honestly, I've been trying to set it up in a sense where it's like two people just sitting at a bar shooting shit. I do have, we're working on once a month, me and Kelly Slaughter, the daughter of Sergeant Slaughter, to talk about health and fitness. We're trying to plan that.
This right here, Sergeant Slaughter, action figure.
Nice.
I've been debating on opening it for over a year now. I hate when they don't have a window.
I have
a viral one who I love has a window, so that's why I'll keep that one. But Sergeant Slaughter. But that's what we're doing. Kelly Slaughter. That's all.
Yeah, man. If you want to do this more often, man, I'll we'll link up after the live stream and cuss and discuss it and stuff.
Good.
You know. Well, like I tell everybody. Stay thirsty for life, my friends. This has been the Bartender's Jukebox Podcast. Actually, you know, instead of saying the Bartender's Jukebox Podcast, I'm going to say the Bartender's Squared Circle live stream right now. with Mr. Serious Business, or as I like to say, the pop culture icon, Andy Hedder. Until next time, my friends, peace.
Always remember, friends, there's always help out there, no matter what kind of depression you're going through or no matter what life's throwing at you. Always remember there is help. If you feel like you're in need, text 988. That is the suicide hotline or a text number, and you can get in contact with somebody right away. Hopefully this helps you if you're struggling, and if you're not, make sure to pass the word to help others out. Thank you very much, and cheers.
Time for your medication, Mr. Brown.